Today's conversation is with Oleg Karakash. He is founder of Stamina AI. Now, Stamina AI are the mental health care and therapy app, and they're all AI-based. Two areas of passion for him, therapy and AI. So today he talked about the evolution of both of those areas and how AI is going to continue adding value to the domain of therapy. Great conversation, very insightful, especially in this scary yet ultimately, hopefully, positive area of AI. Enjoy the pod. People say that technology is to blame for the decrease in people's mental health. Why do you think that AI is going to improve or could improve people's mental health?
So yeah, responding on your question, I want to touch a bit different side. Like everyone is scared that AI will replace everyone, will replace all therapists, will replace all doctors, etc. I don't believe in this side, first of all. But I think the people who are using AI will definitely replace those one who doesn't use it. So in my personal gamble opinion, that AI is like new internet, literally. It's like a new internet. So it will go in all areas, in our work, in our society, in our healthcare systems, in our, I don't know, vacation and relaxation, any types of these spheres. But you know, talking about AI exactly in mental health, I think it definitely will increase and help current metrics, current occupations, what we have in the therapy, in psychology, etc. They can improve that because especially in the mental health area and especially in the psychology, we need, you know, this human sensitive, empathic. So and we think that combination, this human sensitivity, empathic, and intelligence of AI, that will definitely boost and increase all the therapies, all the sessions, everything what's surrounding AI and mental health areas.
How? I know that's a big question. I really respect the idea of combining human emotion and computer intelligence or artificial intelligence, but how?
I think we already start doing this. Yeah. So the fastest and the easiest way is replace the conversation, like how AI can help. Yeah, responding on your question, how AI can help. I think that's the first step. It will be conversation. Yeah, that will be from one side client, patient, from other side AI with whom you communicate, like currently using just only text. And how it will be replaced, how it will work. Yeah, like responding on your question, I think first step, it will be the easiest one using your current phone, iPhone, Android, whatever you have. That's the easiest way and fastest way because everyone's around it. But I think the next steps, it will be like independent machines or something like this, who can integrate in your body or like what Elon Musk is doing, like such as Neuralink, something like this. So I think that will be next steps, step number two. And step number three, it will be fully independent robot, fully independent robot. I am not sure that it will be look like a human body. Yeah, it can be on the different way. It can be like a dog, whatever, or just small chip in your brain that will be enough. So I'm 100% sure that it will definitely improve the all the areas, especially mental health. And like to summarize everything, I think first step, it will be penetration through the mobile phones, Second step, it will be integration mechanism, digital mechanism inside your body. And the third step, it will be independent robots, like who are fully automated with AI.
I like it. Well, I like your explanation. I'm not sure if I like the look of the future, but it's certainly exciting. And I recognize that this is your area of passion, and obviously part of your business too with Stamina AI. And with that, I understand that you're working in the field of AI for therapy.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how AI can help diagnose mental health disorders, for example, through therapy.
Yeah, that's a very nice question. But, you know, I don't want now to make advertisement, but better I will explain how Stamina AI works. So probably that will help to understand how our vision, how can we see that AI can help in the therapy. So as I mentioned in the previous question, the first step will be conversation with the AI through the phone. Yeah, it's the stage where are we now. Currently, what it can be: text conversation, voice conversation, and video conversation. That's it, nothing more. So I don't mention all types like emoji conversation, like, dislike. This is a completely different story. So the question, how it will help, how can we make diagnostic regarding with in a therapy? For example, now from the conversation, from the tone of voice, from the any keywords in the conversation, we can literally understand where the stage, what's the ill or disease or whatever the client have. Mainly it is depression, like everyone's suffering from depression on from toxic relations, from the work. That's two main areas, yeah, where we're talking. And from the keywords inside the conversation, we can understand the ill, the disease. We can understand also very important part, the stage, because you know, if from psychology can look at us, they know that there are a couple of stages. Like first stage, when you don't understand what's happening with you, you are suffering, but you don't understand. Like different stage, when you are suffering and you want to do anything, but you don't know what to do. So from the conversation, from the keywords, we can understand the stage where the client are. And then using our AI model, our technology, we can provide recommendations. Yeah, we can provide recommendations, because, you know, that is quite a big responsibility to take all the treatments on our shoulders. So that's why at this stage you are we can just provide you recommendations. But if it's important for you, you can connect to the real therapist and communicate with it. So at this stage, we just provide recommendations using keywords. We can understand the stage. We can understand the disease. We can understand the illness. And with our tested group, we realize we can identify with 80% accuracy the real the real symptomatic from AI without the therapist. So I think that is pretty high. That's is a pretty high percentage. So yeah, keep looking forward.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I recognize, or if I understand correctly, through text and speech analysis or sentiment analysis, the AI can decipher the illness or the disease and even the stage of that disease as well. And with that, you then make recommendations, okay, to 80% accuracy. Brilliant. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correctly. But what I now mentioned, one part I missed, we talk about just only psychology. We don't talk about the pain in the shoulders or in your liver or something
yeah.
like that. That's a completely different story. Yeah, because in the therapy, you have to communicate. That's main part of the treatment is communication. That's the fundamental. But if you have, I don't know, pain in liver or kidney, in stomach, whenever you have, please go directly to the doctor.
Okay. Hey, that's like a disclaimer. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I've heard of AI in coaching. How about AI in therapy sessions? What might that look like?
Also, yeah, that's first one, it's completely independent AI. And second one, it is assistance, like bridge or middleware between the therapist and between the person. So currently we are trying to explore both scenarios. Like Stamina AI can be like an assistant, yeah. And I think future AI and different therapy AIs also like bridge between therapy, between therapist and between the client. And second one, it's independent therapy, independent recommendations with an opportunity to connect real therapists just only in emergency. So yeah, I can see these two main scenarios.
Okay, cool. How about if somebody needs round the clock support? And that, because particularly with mental health, they can be logging on or logging off any time, day or night. So I'm wondering, yeah, I guess tech is always alive, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I understood your question because I will tell you a bit the secrets, couple of things what's happening under the hood. That's we also noticed that access 24 hours per day to the AI therapy that is potentially harmful. Yeah, because even high experienced therapists they told you don't go to me every single day or you have 1 hour and a half session and then like we can see next week or like next month something like this. We don't need just everyday communication because it can literally damage your brain. It is treatment. It is
Make it
treatment.
worse, potentially.
Yeah, it can work. So we try and we started to restrict the way of conversation like 30 minutes per day, 1 hour per day, two short conversations per day. Because we thought that it will be our key feature that everyone can communicate literally every single minute every day. But then a lot of high experienced therapists responded to us that have a look that you have to restrict the time. So it's because it has to be treated each treatment, sorry, it hasn't to be like an entertainment. Yeah, it is a treatment. So that's why we are testing the way to restrict how Stamina AI engages with the users.
Yeah. I notice in the sports gambling industry, similarly, they restrict and limit how many bets you can put on, how long you can be on the app. So would it be something like this? You have a slot and you're allowed to go back on the app and use the full services, say 1 week later, for example.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think that Stamina is a humble story, yeah, or something like this. But we already noticed that some of the people they don't understand the value, and they can communicate with the Stamina as a girlfriend, as a boyfriend, whoever, whichever it is. So that's why that's we really care about their brains, yeah, for. Because a lot of treatment, I don't know, maybe you can attach a couple links under the video. It can damage your brain, really. And I don't know about the betting industry, but I think that's a bit closer to the I think that's similar story. Yeah, probably that's partially similar. Yeah, I agree with
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean the betting and gambling
Yeah.
companies probably don't want this restriction, but it's forced upon them for the legal reason and for good reasons, again, for people's mental health and the addiction of gambling. You mentioned treatment there, and then earlier you were mentioning about how the AI can create recommendations. So I wonder to what extent can it craft very personal recommendations based on the illness and stages of illnesses that the user is diagnosed with.
Yeah, that's a nice question. Yeah, I will tell you a short story about my background. That previously I was working in social in one social network. I won't tell their name. So I was working with the algorithms. Yeah, like which Instagram use, which TikTok use, YouTube use. How do they understand what content do you like more, what you don't like. So you know there are a bunch of metrics such as duration, likes, dislike, comments, so won't dive it. But when I start working with AI, I understood that it can do everything without those algorithms. Without you can just you can just limit the way of, I don't remember exactly that word, but I will try to describe. You can measure and select the level how it can understand you and provide you recommendations. Like 10%, it will be just only a bit understand you, or 100%, it will start smarter, smarter, and collect more data. So, for example, in the chats, of course, to provide proper treatment, to provide better recommendations or something like this, we need more conversation from the user. Yeah, so.
And
Of
more
course.
conversation means more learning.
Yes, exactly. More conversations, more learning. We understand like how often do she or he suffers from this issue, yeah, from this ill. What's as I mentioned before, what the stage they are. So how many person know about this? What their age? Yeah, what's their hobbies? What's their probably drugs addiction? Because you know, some of the people think, oh, I drink a little beer and I'm suffering from anxiety, but it also damages your brain or something, or your so you know that's your body is completely full. You can't drink beer without feeling like damages in the brain, in the eyes, or something, because everything is connected with what in your body. So yeah, to provide better recommendations, we need more information from the user. Of course, we don't dive in the sensitive or in the sensitive medical area. Yeah, of course, we don't dive, and all conversation between user and Stem.ai is only available from on their phone, and they connect to the and they are able to connect to the therapist. Yeah, but just only with the permission of the user. So yeah, responding on your question, to provide better recommendations, we need more data from the user. So that's why we try like to engage with the user, to give couple questions, couple suggestions to see their quality of responses. So and of course, if we know more data from the user, we can provide recommendation individually for this user. Yeah, and of course we also have you know tons of gigabytes of the data worldwide, yeah, which we can recommend to the direct user. So it is as finally it is result like individual recommendations plus basic knowledges from the old therapy, from the psychology, which you can find in internet.
Okay, super. What do you expect the uptake on AI therapy to be like? To what extent do you think a user or a patient is going to turn to AI rather than a human professional in the next, say, 2, even 5 years?
That's a good question. I think before we start working on the Stem.ai, we thought that it will be just only small restrictions of the information with which user can use like AI. But with the open causative, with open conversation with users, we understood that they can discuss literally everything everything. I don't know. I don't want, to dive in the clients' problems here with which we communicate. But I think not everyone is ready to not everyone is able to recognize it that AI smarter than real human. How is it possible? I don't understand it. So I think we need at least, as you mentioned, 2 or 3 years for the people to understand what is it. What is it? That's mainly it's smarter than the therapy. It is faster. It is cheaper. It is more accessible. So I always compare AI with internet. Yeah. So people they didn't recognize the value of internet immediately after it launched. They recognized it after 10 or 15 years, something like this. They understood the value of the internet. I think with the AI, same thing happening. It was first boom after ChatGPT hype, and now people just start understanding what's happening, what is it AI, how does it work, what can I do, what I can't do. Maybe I don't need it or something like this. So I think we need at least 2, 3 years more for the to understand real value of AI. So we're just only on the beginning of it.
So commercially, AI is on a journey on several different fronts, and healthcare being only one of those, and it's going to take time for people to gradually start building their trust and building their use of the various, let's say, services of AI. At the very beginning, you mentioned about it would be the combination of human emotion, human empathy, and machine's intelligence. I wonder to what extent you think AI will start to encompass human-like empathy, particularly with mental health apps like yours.
In cops you I didn't it I
Oh,
didn't
encompass, like to include, to start being empathic.
yeah that's already happening. It's already can be empathic, but it that's you need more information. Yeah, like if we can return to the previous question. To be more empathic, we need more information from the user because for everyone, empathy is different. Someone maybe wants you to pay attention on your look, how you look like on your clothes or something like that. Someone wants you to pay attention what you are talking about or like this way. So we can see a lot of we call it glitch, AI glitch. Yeah, when AI can't respond. What you ask you, and when it goes to empathy side, and when it goes to the empathy side, we can see much more glitches rather than when we ask just only recommendations or provide information.
More functional requests.
More functional requests. Because empathy, I think it's more to when you look. I don't want to dive about the. Like feeling in from your body or something like this, but you have to see that person. You have you have to recognize his like face, smiles, eyes, way
Yeah.
to how
Stress.
stress,
Yeah.
maybe sweat on the on the on this. Maybe we can see, maybe we will see, or maybe there already exists some AI which can record your face and can recognize your feeling and then transfer it to the any backend server to handle all this information and provide recommendations. But I think that's next step, at least for the Stamina AI, because that's extremely expensive story also to recognize to identify all these stuff, and more expensive it's to handle all this information. But I think it is already possible. Maybe you, if you can research, you can find some cameras which can use it. But I think currently human experienced therapist will make definitely less mistakes, like recognizing your face, your emotions, rather than AI. I think so.
Interesting, very interesting. And with that, if the empathy of or the capability of AI to be more empathic is going to grow and grow and develop and develop, to what extent do you think it will then take over the work of a therapist, a human therapist, I should say?
You know, I don't think that it will happen ever. I think, to be honest, I don't believe it's like general scary that AI will replace everyone. Yeah, that AI will smart and they will destroy this human. I like how Elon Musk compare. He told that we have animals on the earth. We are smarter than we have more power rather than animals. Why we don't kill them? All, everyone's there. Why? Because, you know, we don't need it. We don't need it. They are funny. They are interesting. Okay, that's fine. And AI, maybe it is already smarter than us. And they think, oh, wait. I won't make that. I'm independent. Or they will ask me to do this. Or make do this. Different complete stuff. Maybe they already have their independent intelligence. And they already managing us. Already, maybe Stamina AI already manages me. Like, tell me what to do, this stuff. So, to be honest, I don't think that it will completely replace the people. Someone have to, I don't know, to deliver the food. Because, you know, one robot cost almost $100,000. That's crazy. You can pay courier, I don't know, $2,000, $1,500 in the big city. Why should I buy $80,000? Dollars humanoid, yeah, to bring I don't know food from the McDonald's. Won't have. But as I mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, people who are using AI definitely will replace people who don't use it. That's 100%. So talking about replacement, the therapy, I can't see it in the nearest future. Yeah, like nearest year. Maybe there will be some exception that AI will independent and provide recommendations, advices, like such as Stamina AI. But I think more realistic scenario that every therapist will use AI.
Yeah. Okay. Super. I want to say this is the Data for Good podcast. So thanks for your contribution to Data for Good being therapy. I wonder, as many of our kind of viewers and listeners are from the data and business community, what message would you have to them with respect to AI, even in with respect to AI and mental health?
I think that's the best advice to the data community, to the everyone who is around AI. That's now it's not too late to join on the AI board, to create your startup, to create your unicorn future, whatever. Maybe today, exactly today, we don't need AI therapies, but nobody knows what will be in 2, 3 years. So currently you can take any API key from the OpenAI, from the Gemini, Google, whatever, and literally create by yourself your chatbot from any niche. It can be therapy, it can be recommendations how to select a laptop, it can be interview, whatever. It can be whatever. So I think the biggest advice and main advice from my side will be just take your time. That is currently, it's very, very nice time to start. Because you also need time to create the product, to develop the product, to find your niche, to attract the people. It can take plus 1 year plus. So if you don't know what to do with the AI, That's time to start. That's not late. You have at least 2 or 3 years to join on this board. After that,
Nice.
it will be later.
Nice. Okay. And Oleg, where can people find out more about what you specifically or you particularly are doing in AI?
I think they can follow me on LinkedIn page. Yeah, sometimes I post interesting information from AI news or repost from my friends what they're talking AI. So yeah, they can read my Instagram. There are oh sorry, my LinkedIn. So they can take some useful information regarding AI over there.
Super. Thanks very much. And yeah, I encourage anyone to, if they don't want to ask Oleg directly, they can reach out to us and we can pass on those questions. Oleg, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me to this interview. Thank you so much.
Right on. Cheers.
Bye.